Okay, this evening we're going to take a look at Good Friday. We've been talking about possibly looking at the Bible to see, because I think the Bible is quite clear on how the Lord was crucified on Good Friday. I know for a couple of weeks I've been trying to get to this, and since I think we're in between chapters in the book of Revelation, I think we're going to move over tonight and look at the picture of Friday being the day that the Lord was crucified. It is kind of difficult. Well, I wouldn't say it's difficult to see in the Bible. I think it's really quite easy and clear in the Bible to see that the Lord was crucified on Friday. But it does take quite a bit of looking very, very carefully in the Bible, comparing the four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John very, very carefully, and working out the language of the details of the specific days, because each day really is appreciated in these gospels, from Sunday, which is what we call Palm Sunday, right up into Resurrection Sunday. So the full 8 days is covered very, very carefully, I think, in scriptures. But again, you have to cover a lot of scripture. We're going to skip some scripture, but I really want to, first of all, make a couple of notes here of the chapters and verses that we really need to look at in order to see the picture that the Lord was crucified on Friday. We're going to harmonize these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in these certain chapters. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through Matthew 28, verse 1. We're going to take a look at large portions of those chapters and harmonize them with the other books that we're going to look at. Mark 11, verse 1 through Mark 16, verse 1. Luke 19, verse 28 through Luke 24, verse 1. And John 12, verse 12 through 20, verse 1. And the book of John, kind of interesting, because it spends about, goodness, eight or nine chapters from Palm Sunday right up through to the crucifixion. So there's a lot of detail on the conversation that was taking place during that time period, and where Christ was at the time, and so on. So I guess we'll start by looking at Matthew, and we are going to skip some of these chapters or some of these verses, and when we get to the verses that we'll skip through, you know, I'll make a note of them. But it's just, again, more information to build the story of what we're looking at. But we start off in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting on an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And the multitude that went before them, that followed, and cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Okay, so clearly we have the language here, and we're going to compare it to Mark and to Luke, and even on to John. We're going to look at all four of these books of the same language, of the same incident, and each one tells it just a little bit different, and really when you put it all together, you got the whole story of what took place on that day, at least as much as God wants to reveal to us. And clearly this is the picture of the triumphal entry. This is the picture of Palm Sunday. when the Lord came into Jerusalem. Okay, same incident, same time period, Mark chapter 11, verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied wherein never a man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in the place where two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why do you why do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus hath commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strode them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out into Bethany with the 12. Okay, so again, clearly this is the same picture as we're reading about in Matthew 21, and we saw the same picture here in Mark 11. And we're going to look now at Luke. And, of course, this is Sunday. This would be, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it would be 5 days prior to Friday. Okay, in Luke, again, we have the same kind of a picture, a little bit told a little bit differently, but pretty much the same details. Luke 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he came nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount, called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye to the village over against you, in the which you are entering, ye shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never a man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask of you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thou thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come nigh, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou knowest, even that even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Okay, one other account to pick it up for the triumphal entry, and that would be in John chapter 12, where we read in verse 12, And the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches and palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered, then remembered they that these sayings were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how he prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Okay, so I think by comparing these scriptures here in these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we look at the incident, I think it is very clear. It is at these points that God is starting to give us the picture of the last 5 days prior to the crucifixion. So that was Sunday, and we'll pick up in Matthew 21 now. And again, we're pretty much going to try to keep in line with these verses. We may not read each and every one of these. Let me see. Yeah, we may skip some of these verses because there's a lot of scripture to go through. But we're going to try to keep in line and focus in on the days as each day is spent, and how we might see clearly that the next day came about and the next day, and we'll count the days and refer to them as what day of the week that is in view. And the next day that in the week that is in view is found in Matthew 21 verse 17. And this is, well, let's pick up in verse 10. This would be bringing us into Monday. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful thing that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. Now that brings us to Monday. We saw here in Matthew 21 where, you know, of course, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem has taken place. And now he goes into the temple, and we see this incident that God recorded here in 21 verses 10 through 17. And in verse 17 he says, And he left and went out of the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. So it's evening, and he went to the city to sleep, to lodge. In verse 18, Now in the morning, which brings us to Monday, he returned into the city. He hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Okay, so we see now it is the next day. He had left Jerusalem, went into Bethany, and now he's coming back into the city, entering into the city on Monday morning, and on the way into the city he curses the fig tree. Now, in Mark, we read of the same account in chapter 11, verse 12, And on the morning, next day, Monday morning, when they came from Bethany, that's where they went to lodge, we'd read about that in Matthew, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it, and they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers. and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because of all the people, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Okay, so we see again in Mark 11, same picture. We see on the morning, on the morrow, the next day, he comes through, going back into Jerusalem, back into the city. He curses the fig tree. It's Monday morning. He is in Jerusalem throughout the day. And now he went out of the city. It's evening has come. He's leaving the city. Okay, Luke 19:45 also, we can see a little bit of an account in here. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold thereon, and them that bought. So we know it's the same account that we just read about in Mark chapter 11. Saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Okay, and in John, we have, again, the same account. There's quite a bit here. We're not going to cover all of this. Let me see. Okay, we're going to skip on through John. I think I stuck this in here. It's John chapter 12, verses 20, all the way through 50. It's 30 verses. And I don't know necessarily that it gives us much of a timing, that it does more, give us more information as far as, you know, what took place during this time period. And John has a lot to say. He's got something like 8 chapters here on this particular 5-day period. So a good part of the book of John is really covering these 5 days. And maybe at some point we should maybe take a look at the book of John for these 5 days and take a look at the content of the conversation and what parables might have been a focus and what historical situations that might have taken place and so on. But that would have to be a study unto its own. And maybe what we'll do is after we do the study, maybe that's what we'll do next Thursday, possibly, if I can get through all that between now and then. But if not, maybe in the future we'll do something. We'll do kind of a part two to this. So we're going to skip through a lot of these verses because, again, I don't think it gives us much of an information as far as focusing in on the day. But, again, there is the context within the time period that chapter 12 is covering. And we saw that earlier when we read a few verses out of John 12 concerning the triumphal entry. So we know that it's dealing with this time period. Okay, so we go now to the next day. Now they've left, remember, Jesus has left the city. They cast out the money changers and them that sold doves. He cast them out of the temple. Then it records, we saw it in these chapters here, in these books, we saw that he left the city. And of course, he went back to Bethany. Now, we're going to look at the next day. And in the morning, this is Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning, now this would be Tuesday morning. We saw clearly Sunday. We saw him go into the triumphal entry. We saw he left the city, went to Bethany, spent the night, came back in the morning, cursed the fig tree Monday morning. Now he left the city, and he went back to Bethany, and now it's in the morning, Tuesday morning. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So this is the day after Monday, clearly. So we've seen Sunday, we've seen Monday, and we're now looking at Tuesday. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That's kind of interesting. This wasn't noted on Monday night when they were heading back to Bethany. Clearly they went to Bethany because the language is they're passing by the same road. Maybe because it was dark and they were unable to notice, and that might be significant for us in our time because we can relate the language of these 5 days and the crucifixion of Christ and of course, the death and the resurrection of Christ. We can relate that to our day because it all has given us a picture of the end of the world as much as it is giving us a picture of what was taking place in that day historically in those days, and of course the work of Christ by becoming sin for us. But anyway, they did not notice it on the night before. And one of the, as we were reading, one of the Gospels here mentioned and made the note of the fact that straightway it withered. So here he goes by, he cursed it, and they didn't notice that it withered straightway, although they recorded it. But it is in the morning as they passed, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called unto remembrance, and saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. It's like he's just noticing it. So I think that might be significant. I don't know exactly how, but a couple of things kind of come to mind, but I'm not too sure. But it may be significant. Oh, I'm sure it is significant. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Have faith in God. For truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall deliver that shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whithersoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Okay. The point, of course, the focus is looking at these days and very carefully going through these days to discover and show clearly through scriptures that that Friday is the day of the crucifixion. So here we are on Tuesday morning. I think that's pretty clear. We're in Mark 11, verses 20 through 26, and some of the account of Tuesday was given there. Now, in Matthew 21, verse 20, we read through verse 22, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Truly I say unto you, if ye have faith and no doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Okay, so I think clearly we see now, we are clearly on day number, that would be day number three, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And he's on his way back to Jerusalem. Now when they get into Jerusalem, there's quite a bit of information written concerning this particular day, and we're going to kind of just skim through it because it's way too much scripture to read. But for instance, there is the situation with the chief priests and the elders who question Jesus' authority, and that takes place from Matthew 21 verses 23 through 32 and Luke chapter 20 verses 1 through 8. Then in the same day, there's also the parable of a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it in. And that is covered in Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 46, and Luke 20, verses 9 through 18. Then also on this very day, again, is told the story of the parable of a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and that we read about in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Then there is the Pharisees that take counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And we read about that in Matthew 22, verses 15 through 46, and Luke verses 20, chapter 20, verses 19 through 47. Then there is the certain poor woman with the two mites. That story is told in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Then there are the woes to the scribes and the Pharisees and hypocrites, Matthew 23, verses 1 through 39. Then there is the warning and the sign of the Son of Man concerning the end of the world, which is Matthew 24, verses 1 through 51, and Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 38. And Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 46 is parables of the end. Now, I know that was a lot, and it was really just a lot of chapters and verses. What I'm going to do, I think, is take these notes that I have, and when I post this audio up on thebibleonly.net, I'll post these notes with it, so you can have this all written down, and people can examine it and carefully go through the scriptures for the harmony. And like I said earlier, it's not an easy picture to see unless you very carefully have went through the harmony of the gospel and very carefully laid it out slowly. And I had done this many years ago, and I've never given it in a study, so I've never articulated it before. But very clearly, I did it for my own edification, because there was always some who would argue that the Lord didn't die on Friday, he died on Thursday. And I remember Brother Campin always making the point, no, the Lord died on Friday, it's clear, scriptures is clear. But I've never seen anyone lay it out, so for myself I had to go look to see, and I had done a harmony study of scriptures, so that I had already done before, so it was a little bit easy for me. I had already spent maybe a couple of years working out the harmony of the scriptures, and the four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is. And so for me it was kind of, I had already done a good portion of the work prior to going to do this study. But again, I do recognize it's really kind of, on one hand, difficult to find, but I think the way I'm trying to lay it out might make it clear as we carefully go through the scriptures and we recognize the harmony and the focus on these particular 5 days. And there's a lot taking place during these 5 days, a tremendous amount, as you can already see. And again, we have to skip a lot of it. Most of this, is only a couple of chapters, maybe, of Matthew. Matthew is, well, a lot more than a few chapters. Matthew is like 7 chapters. Mark is 5 chapters. Luke is 5 chapters. And John is 8 chapters. So there's quite a few chapters in the Bible here concerning these four books that really have spent a lot of time on these 5 days. Okay, so, in any event, we are on Tuesday. They're in Jerusalem. All of these things have taken place as we briefly went through these parables and stories and different things that took place on Tuesday. We now are moving into the... there's a little more information. Let me see how much of this we're going to look at. Okay, Matthew 26. We'll jump into Matthew 26, verse 1. Now remember, we have Matthew 25, verses 1 through 46, which is the parable of the end of the world. Prior to that, we saw Matthew 24, verses 1 through 51, and Luke 21, verses 5 through 38, which was, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of their coming? And the end of the world. And that took place on Tuesday of that week. And that's when he departed out of the temple. It was Tuesday that he departed out of the temple and went up onto the mountain. And this all took place on that Tuesday. It's Tuesday evening. I perceive it would be Tuesday evening. He's up on the mountain and the disciples come to him. Now we pick up on Matthew 26, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings. This is Matthew 26, verse 1. Finished all of what sayings? Matthew 24. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of their coming? End of the world. Matthew 25. The parables concerning the end of the world. God speaks about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, and so on. And now we move into the very next chapter, 26, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and that the Son of Man is to be betrayed, to be crucified. Okay, so this is Tuesday night. After 2 days, you got Wednesday and Thursday. After Wednesday and after Thursday. Know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. That brings us to Thursday night. That's the feast of the Passover. After 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now right there, I think we've already established that Christ is already foretelling and focusing in on the fact that it was going to be Thursday night when he would be betrayed. It would be Thursday night when the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified, and it would be Friday morning as he goes through Thursday night before he is delivered to the cross. So that brings us to Thursday night quite clearly, but This isn't the only place I think that it's clearly, as we continue, we're going to see day by day. God is very, very careful to make sure that we can't miss this for whatever his purpose is, that it was very important that we saw it was on Friday. Okay, so let me reread that again. Matthew 26, verse 1. This is, remember, Tuesday has gone by. It's the end of the evening. I perceive it's evening. And he's up on a mountain, and he's already departed out of the church. He's up on a mount, and he's expounding all these things. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, finally came to an end of all these things, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Okay, again, that brings us to Thursday night. Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday night. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders onto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. Let's see how much of this we're going to read. Hang on a minute. Alright, I'm going to skip the rest of this. There's some details in here talking about the taking Jesus and that and so on. And they're seeking now the opportunity to betray him, as we read now in verse 16, as we drop down about 16 verses later. So we see this conversation has taken place during this time period, okay? After Tuesday night, and remember, he already went through the woes unto your scribes and Pharisees, departs out of the temple, he really upset them, and now they're talking about planning on taking him, or opportunity to have him to betray him. Okay. John chapter 12, verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. They took Mary a pound of ointment. Let me see if we want to read this. Okay, we'll skip through that. Again, John covers a lot of information and gets into a lot of details of these 5 days. But again, going through the harmony, we're going to move into the Thursday. Now, Judas conspires to betray Jesus, and that information is given in Luke 22, verses 1 through 6. And again, in Matthew 26, verse 16, we had read, and from the time, well, we didn't read it, but I made note of this, and from the time he sought opportunity to betray him. And that was taking place after the statement was made, and after 2 days, is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man would be betrayed to be crucified. And then, of course, there's about 14 or so more verses, and verse 14, we finally come up, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went on to the chief priest and said unto them, what wilt thou give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now we move into the next day. We see that there was after 2 days, which was referenced from Wednesday. Let me think about that. Tuesday night. From Tuesday night, he's leaving the city, or at least he goes up onto the mount, and he references that in the Bible, references where the Lord says, and after 2 more days, Wednesday and Thursday, that brings us to Thursday. Jesus would be betrayed. Now we read on in Matthew chapter 26, verse 17, this is now Thursday. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? So this is now Thursday during the day. It's going to be Passover night, that Thursday night. And remember, going back to Matthew 26, verse 1, it came to pass, Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days, 2 days is the feast of Passover, after 2 days, Tuesday, that's Wednesday and Thursday, that Thursday night is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man be betrayed and to be crucified. Now we're on that Thursday, the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread. The disciples came to Jesus, this is Matthew 26, 17, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, so obviously that is Thursday during the day. They're making preparation for the feast of Passover. Now, when the evening was come, the evening of that Thursday day, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Truly, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Okay, now we have Matthew 26, so we move into verse 22. 22 through 35, Jesus tells of his betrayal. In verse 36, Matthew 26, verse 36, after he tells of his betrayal, he sends Judas out, he tells of his betrayal, and then we read on, "Then coming," this is Thursday night, "then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane." And this is where Jesus starts his suffering. This is where the beginning of the wrath of God starts to be poured out on Christ. "And he saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and behold, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. All right, I'm going to stop there because, of course, we know we're going to be led into the rest of Thursday evening, and we have the crucifixion on the following morning. Of the same incident again in Luke chapter 22, verse 7, then come the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and again it's the same focus of the Passover, and Jesus prepares for the place to eat the Passover, and they went and prepared a place. So Thursday night we have the Last Supper, which is Luke chapter 22, verses 10 to 38, and we also cover this in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. And we have the Jesus prays for his own in the garden. We find that in John chapter 17. And we find a betrayal in the garden, which we had just read a little earlier. Also, we find that in Luke 22 and in John 18. And then it is after, during this evening at night, where Jesus is tried and sentenced to death finally in the morning, and or in the, you know, throughout the evening. Anyway, we read about these Luke 22 and 23 and John 18 and 19. Okay, so now they all now focus on the morning. We pick up in Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. We read of the same thing in the account of the crucifixion in Luke chapter 23. And it talks then that the day of the preparation of the Sabbath is drawing nigh, and they took him off the cross. We read about that in Luke 23. Let's see if we read a few of those verses. We'll pick up. It's in Luke 23. We'll pick up in verse 49. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Jesus is now crucified. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. And the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, if I'm pronouncing that right, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. That this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. So we know that the Sabbath is drew on, that was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was coming, which was coming that Friday night. The Sabbath starts at, I think it's sunset, but it starts in the evening. The Sabbath starts on Friday night, and here is the day that was the preparation, and the Sabbath was drawing on. So I think we clearly see again the picture of the Sabbath. Now, we get an account in Luke, chapter 23, verse 55, and the woman also that came with him from Galilee followed after, and behold the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, which was Saturday, according to the commandment. And then, of course, the next account would be when they come onto the grave on Sunday. And we read of that in, I think, all four of the Gospels. Yeah, all four of the Gospels give account of this. We read about that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, that's the end of Sabbath, Saturday, as it began to dawn towards the first of the Sabbath, that would be the first of the Sabbaths of New Testament Sabbaths, that's Sunday, first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Read the same kind of language in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Saturday, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they may come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first of the Sabbath, they came unto the sepulchre. First Sabbath, first of the New Testament Sabbath. This is the first, this is Resurrection Sunday. This is the first day of the week, the first of the new Sabbaths. Same account again, and pretty much almost the same language in all four of these places. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first of the Sabbaths, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And John chapter 20, verse 1, the first of the Sabbaths cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. It is just, the sun is just starting to come up upon the horizon, just starting to peek out onto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Okay, anyway, I think it's quite clear here, and again, we saw each of the days as we worked through these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we saw clearly how the triumphal entry, which was the first day of the week, which was what we understand as Palm Sunday, and we saw how he left on Palm Sunday. That evening he left the city and went to Bethany, and we saw clearly that that was Monday morning when he came back into the city, back into Jerusalem, Monday morning, and he cursed the fig tree. And then it's recorded how he left the city. And we know he went to Bethany, and that would have been Monday night. And we know he went to Bethany because it is Tuesday morning, the next morning, where he records on the same path coming back. They commented about the fig tree that was cursed. And it was Tuesday where he spent much of the time with his quite a bit of chapters focusing in on this particular day. He spent a lot of time in the temple, and he was preaching and teaching in the temple. He told many parables, many stories, and this was the woes to the scribes and the Pharisees. When he departs out of the temple, tells them he leaves it desolate, and he goes up onto the mountain, and his disciples come, and this is Tuesday. This is Tuesday evening, going up into the mountain. And then he expounds unto them concerning the things of the end. And we have Matthew 24, Matthew 25, and then we read in the beginning of Matthew 26, on how he comments to them, and I think this was recorded in two of the places. I know Matthew was one of them, 26, where he says, after 2 days is the Passover. And we know clearly that this is Tuesday night, and you have Wednesday is one day after 2 days, and Thursday is another day. That's 2 days. So after 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, is the Passover. And we went and we saw how clearly God gave us plenty of focus on that particular Passover in during the day, the preparation for the Passover, the finding of a place for the supper, the betrayal by Judas that evening as he leaves the supper and goes forth to betray the Lord in the garden on Thursday night, where the next morning, of course, he was crucified. It records how he was up all night and they had tried him in a couple of places, and finally before Pilate to be crucified. So, again, very careful walking through. I mean, it took us quite some time, almost an hour, to go through this, and we only touched some of the verses. And if you really wanted to go through it very carefully, and again, I'm going to put this up right next to the study, written form of this study. There's a lot of verses I didn't read, but I do have a lot of verses laid out very carefully. People could read right through them and see very carefully, checking in their Bibles, and see how clearly we can see the chronology of these 5 days. Again, the Bible has a lot to say about these 5 days. If there is any group of days that is recorded more information about, it is these 5 days, which comes from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I should say 6 days, Friday. So there is a lot going on, and a lot of scripture, and very carefully looking at this, I think it's very clear. All right, I'm going to bring it to an end. I tried to keep it as simple as I could. As I mentioned, it is kind of hard to see on the one hand, because you have to go through a lot of scriptures and read through it very carefully and find the harmony before you start finding these key verses, and then you can clearly see that these key verses, there's one really long day in there, which is actually Tuesday, I think it is. Let me think a minute. Tuesday is a very long day, and that is covered in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And another very long day actually is Thursday. There is a lot covered on Thursday, and maybe even part of Wednesday possibly, but I know for sure Thursday is a lot covered, and most of that is covered by in the book of John. All right, anyway, that's it. If anybody has any questions or comments about this study or any of our studies, now's the time to raise your hand or pick up the mic.